Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Pat Ward. I'm the arbitrator selected by the parties pursuant to the Telecommunications Act provisions of the North Dakota Public Service Commission and designated by the PSC to serve as arbitrator for this hearing. The matter is Public Service Commission case number PU-11-697. This arbitration originated with the November 14, 2011 petition for arbitration of Mid-Continent Communications. On June 14, 2011, Mid-Continent requested a facilities-based interconnection from Missouri Valley Communications for the purposes of exchanging local traffic under Section 251A of the Communications Act and reciprocal compensation and number portability under Section 251B. Mid-Continent proposed to interconnect at Wilson and indicated it would be willing to interconnect at a mutually agreed point between Missouri Valley's Williston switch and Mid-Continent's head end, or at any other location in the Wilson Exchange where Missouri Valley interconnects with another carrier. Mid-Continent also proposed that the parties adopt the terms of their existing resale agreement for transfer of customers, directory listings, and other related matters. Since the time of the initial petition, the parties have narrowed the open issues. We are here today to address those remaining open issues. I have previously reviewed the submissions of the parties, including the direct testimony of the following witnesses, which have been provided: Chad Duval, Mike Kilgore, Timothy Gates, and W. Thomas Simmons. I have reviewed the pertinent provisions of North Dakota law, and specifically the provisions of Section 251A and B of the Federal Communications Act, relevant case law, and a declaratory ruling of the Federal Communications Commission with regard to interconnection under Section 251A and B in the context of an incumbent local exchange carrier claiming a rural exemption. I have also reviewed briefs, oral argument, and the Commission's order denying Missouri Valley's motion to dismiss petition for arbitration. This hearing will commence now and continue until both parties are satisfied they have presented sufficient material to give the arbitrator an opportunity to make a recommended decision to the North Dakota Public Service Commission with regard to those open issues. Pursuant to the revised scheduling order, each side will submit post-hearing briefs no later than April 20, 2012, and a proposed arbitration award on each open issue by April 20, 2012. A recommended decision will be issued by the arbitrator in the form of a recommendation to the Public Service Commission no later than May 1, 2012. It is now approximately 2 p.m. at the Public Service Commission hearing room here in the state capitol in Bismarck, which is the time, date, and place set by agreement of the parties for live testimony and cross-examination of witnesses. We have a court reporter, Denise Ondahl, who will be making a record. At this time, counsel for petitioner Mid-Continent, please state your appearance and identify anyone here with you today.
I'm J.G. Harrington of Dow Lonis LLP, PLLC, I'm sorry. I am accompanied here by Zachary Pelham from Pearson Doric here in Bismarck. We have from Mid-Continent itself, we have W. Thomas Simmons will be a witness. We also have Nancy Vogel, Mary Lonis, and Scott Anderson, and also present is our expert witness, Timothy Gates, who is from QSI Consulting.
Okay, and counsel from Missouri Valley, please state your appearance and identify anyone with you here today.
My name is David Hogue, and I'm with Pringle and Herrickstead Law Firm. With me seated at the table is Mr. Mike Kilgore. He is the general manager of Missouri Valley. Behind Mike is Ms. Remy Sun. She is the chief financial officer for Missouri Valley. And seated to Ms. Sun's left is Mr. Chad Duval. He is an expert witness who will testify on behalf of Missouri Valley.
Okay, can you spell Sun for me?
S-U-N.
Okay. Okay, and that's all I see present in the courtroom today. With that, I guess I'll turn it over to Mr. Harrington, if you have any opening statement you would like to make at this time.
Yes, Your Honor, and I'll be brief. In this arbitration, we have a very limited set of issues, and the most significant of those issues relate to the questions concerning reciprocal compensation, particularly the question of whether it's appropriate to adopt bill and keep compensation, and if not bill and keep compensation is not adopted, what the specific terms of the agreement should be concerning when compensation is paid and the rate of compensation. On that issue, The evidence you're going to see today will show several things. The first is that there's no reason to think the traffic will not be in balance. The second is that, consistent with FCC orders, it's appropriate to adopt bill and keep. Third, to the extent that you as the arbitrator determine that bill and keep is not appropriate, that the rates proposed by Missouri Valley are far in excess of appropriate rates under the FCC's rules and under the Communications Act, and that a much, much lower rate should be adopted. The other issues are, relatively speaking, less significant. However, the most important one to the timing of interconnection and the timing with which we'll be able to provide facilities-based service to the consumers in Williston is the question of when the agreement becomes effective. We'll show today that there are important reasons why the agreement should become effective as quickly as possible and should not be delayed pending any appeals that are filed by Missouri Valley or, for that matter, by Midcontinent. As I said, the other issues are relatively less important, and we'll deal with the proof of each of them in the end. We believe that it is clear from the evidence that you'll hear today that the arbitrator should adopt all of the positions taken by Midcontinent in this proceeding.
Okay. Mr. Hogue, any opening statement?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Ward. First of all, I need to apologize again for causing a delay in these proceedings. The delay was caused by my error, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize to counsel and to you, the arbitrator, to Mid-Continent's representatives who are here, as well as the expert witnesses. I failed to properly calendar the revised date for this proceeding, and I should have done so. Having said that, Mr. Ward, I agree largely with Mr. Harrington in terms of the large issues. Reciprocal comp is a large issue, as is the implementation date of any proposed interconnection agreement. Missouri Valley has consistently proposed that the implementation date of the proposed interconnection agreement be delayed or stayed until there is judicial review of whether or not Missouri Valley is obliged to interconnect with Mid-Continent to exchange local traffic. And the stay is for a number of reasons. Most importantly, not to waste the parties' resources. The parties will have to change their network. Missouri Valley will have to engage its central office staff, its technicians, to change the physical interconnections in their switch. The customers will see that, and the customers will be affected. So if it's ultimately determined that Midcontinent is not entitled to physically interconnect with Missouri Valley, that process will have to be reversed, and those customers will have to be reinformed that they are not directly connected to Midcontinent. I've just had a chance to review the arbitrator's motion in limine, and I would like to be heard on that, although I understand that now is the time for calling direct testimony and cross-examination by the witnesses. The arbitrator has outlined, I think, the other issues, and Missouri Valley has provided its responses that were emailed this morning to the arbitrator. So,
Mr. Hogue, I did receive your response. As far as the motion to strike goes, I'm going to stand on that order. If you look at the last sentence in the order, there is a little bit of leeway there to the extent that that testimony may relate factually to one of the open issues. At that juncture, if something like that comes in, we'll rule at that time as to whether or not that's a factual question that we need to go into or not. But I have granted the motion to strike, and I'm going to stand on that order with respect to anything that could be perceived as a opening up a new issue in the arbitration, because I feel that both myself and the PSC are bound by what the Telecommunications Act has to say about framing of the issues in one of these arbitrations, and I do think that Midcontinent is correct that that is the petition and the response. And so I believe there's been opportunity to expand on those issues, and until the testimony was filed, it really wasn't. And I just feel that given the collapsed time frame that things have to be done. I mean, we're sort of on a fast track here under the law. I don't think it would be appropriate to be widening the issues or opening additional issues at this time. And so unless those are factual questions, which I feel relate to the issues that we're here to address, I'm not going to permit it. So that's my response on that. As far as the misunderstanding this morning about the time, we all know what a good attorney you are. You've been in practice in this state a long time, and anybody can make a mistake, and certainly I'm sure that's what happened. Because of the way this came about, with the original date being the 5th and 6th and the revised scheduling order changing it to the 4th and 5th, it's unfortunate because it was such an inconvenience to the other side in terms of the expense of the expert witnesses and the staff and the attorneys that they have here. We've made up all but 4 hours of that time now, and so we're going to do the best we can to finish today and tomorrow like we planned. I'll take under advisement any requests for sanctions, whether I have authority for sanctions, because of the fact that I think it was totally inadvertent on your part. I'm going to be somewhat lenient in regard to this time. So. And my ruling on the motion to strike was not related in any way, shape, or form to that. I was coming in here this morning with my mind pretty much set that I was going to grant that motion anyway. So that's kind of where we stand at this time. Mr. Harrington, any response to the opening remarks?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, then we can proceed.
We would like to call as our first witness W. Thomas Simmons.
Mr. Simmons, you may have a seat. Mr. Simmons, before you testify in this matter, I'm required by law to advise you of the law regarding perjury in North Dakota. Perjury is a false statement under oath of a material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. I'm going to ask the court reporter to administer the oath.
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed, Mr. Harrington.
Thank you, Your Honor. Could you tell me your name, please?
W. Tom Simmons.
And could you tell me your title?
I'm the Senior Vice President of Public Policy for Mid-Continent Communications.
Did you cause to be filed direct testimony in this proceeding?
I did.
Is it the testimony that is marked as Exhibit 1?
I believe so.
And I'm going to pass you a copy of the testimony. Could you review it and make sure it's what we've caused to be filed?
It is.
Do you have any corrections or changes to this testimony?
No, I do not.
Have it back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Could you briefly summarize what you say in your testimony?
Well, the purpose of my testimony is to provide information on Mid-Continent Communications and our experience of providing voice, video, and data services in the city of Williston and, frankly, across our four-state region. We, along with others, have experienced some extraordinary growth in Williston. That affects our ability to provide our services. And even before that growth level became apparent, Williston became a very important market for us. We've been providing services there, cable television services, for a number of years. And when we had the opportunity to expand into that area with voice and video services, we began that process. We have increased our investment in Williston to meet expanding needs and are planning to continue with that plan to add additional facilities into this very growing and vibrant market. We would, of course, like to move all of our services to our own owned, managed network to be able to provide the quality of services in Williston that we provide in all of our other areas, and to be in a position to participate in the residential, the socioeconomic, and frankly the economic development boom that the city of Williston is experiencing now. Williston is a very important market to us, as is all of North Dakota. We serve this area by choice. We serve this area because this is where we live, and we enjoy delivering services to customers in the level that they expect and to their satisfaction. That's the primary purpose of my testimony.
Mr. Simmons, there were some charts and graphs in your testimony, and we're going to show them briefly. We'd like, if you could explain them shortly.
Yes.
Okay. Can you explain that chart, please?
This chart is a depiction of our measurement in average days it takes to install services for customers, for new customers in Williston. The blue line is the number of days during calendar year 2001, average number of install days per month, January through December. The red line is the average number of install days we experience for installation of new customers on our own facilities. The difference, of course, is that the facilities noted in blue are installed actually through our resale agreement with Missouri Valley. And, of course, in red is installation on our own network. We measure the days of installment from the day the customer makes the request to the day the customer receives service.
And this chart appears on page 12 of your testimony. Is that correct?
Yes, it does.
And the next chart, could you describe this chart for us briefly?
This is a similar chart measuring the length of time it takes to respond to a customer who is as an open trouble ticket for no dial tone. Frankly, this catches my attention more than almost anything. A customer in this case is not able to use service on that telephone network. Again, the average number of days noted in blue are those experienced in Williston on our resold services, as opposed to the yellow line, which is our average trouble ticket time on our own facilities-based network.
And does this chart appear on page 13 of your testimony?
It does.
And one more. This is a map. Could you describe this map, and in particular, the how it's relevant to Williston?
Yes. This is a map of Mid-Continent's service area. This is our primary Northern Plains network map. This shows the connectivity between our individual communities and, frankly, our individual areas. The bold red lines in there are our Northern Plain Network primary circuits, 100 gigabit circuits. The line that goes from Beulah up to Williston is actually a leased line. We purchased that from Dakota Carrier Network. And as we grow and develop in the city of Williston, and as the city of Williston is demanding more capacity, we made the decision to extend our full network into Williston with another 100 gigabit network. That network will be coming across from Minot. Construction of that is expected to begin shortly. We plan an announcement of that on May 1st in Williston, also in Minot, to announce the opening of that particular network. Once again, the idea is to make sure as much of our customer services are available on our own facilities, including middle mile as well as last mile.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. I move the admission of Mr. Simmons' testimony into evidence.
Any objection?
No.
That'll be received.
Thank you. We are done with Mr. Simmons. He's available for cross-examination.
Okay. Mr. Hogue.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Simmons, I think we've met before, probably in the previous proceeding. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You were an expert witness in the 2009 proceeding. Is that correct?
Was it 2009 or 2008? At any rate, in the previous discussion, yes, I did represent Mid-Continent.
I noted in page 2, line 5, you talked about joining the Mid-Continent family of companies. Do you understand that Comcast is a 49% owner of Mid-Continent?
Objection, relevance.
I'm trying to figure out which family a company he's...
Overruled. Go ahead.
Well, Mid-Continent Communications is a general partnership with Comcast and Mid-Continent Media. Mid-Continent Media is the operating partner. Comcast is a financial partner.
And does Comcast own 49% of the partnership?
I don't know the exact number. It's my understanding that it, in fact, is an equal partner in Mid-Continent Communications. But again, Comcast is a financial partner, actually not involved in our general operations.
Are you a member of the, do you call that a part of the family of Mid-Continent, and are you involved with Comcast personally?
No, I do not call it a part of the family. Maybe more significantly, Comcast does not include us as a part of their family. And I have very few dealings with Comcast, frankly.
Sounds like some of my relatives.
Yes.
Well, Comcast does own some content providers, does it not? Golf Channel and E Network and
yes.
Does Mid-Continent buy those channels from Comcast?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Where are we going here? I'm going to object again on relevance. We have nothing to do with any of the issues in this proceeding at this point.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of inclined to agree.
Well, that's good timing because I am moving on.
Okay.
Going to page 3, line 9, you state, except in Williston, we use Mid-Continent cable platform to provide all of our services. You're using your coax cable in Williston to provide your services, are you not?
Yes.
What is meant by that? That you're not using your own services to provide what, switching in Williston?
No. What I mean by that line is that in most of our markets where we provide telephone services, telephone, voice, and video are all services provided on our network. In Williston, on our network, we provide video and data services. We do not provide voice on our network.
Okay. When you say the Williston community, I assume you've looked at the previously filed testimony of other witnesses who've alleged that your service area is basically 7 square miles within the city limits of Williston.
Our service area is the city limits of Williston because that's our franchise area for our cable operations. That's correct.
Are you aware of whether you serve all of the area within the city limits of Williston?
It's my understanding that we serve all areas within the city of Williston where we have had customer requests. Now, if there are expanded areas that aren't quite built out, we may not have that network fully extended there. But to my knowledge, we've worked very hard to build out all those areas.
Are you going to want the tripod? We can move our material if you'd like.
one thing, gentlemen, when we walk away from the microphones, it may not be picked up on the taping system for the internet streaming. There was talk of bringing in a handheld microphone. Did he do that? Okay.
We can bring one of these over, though, since
yeah,
they're wireless.
Yeah, let's do that.
Push it in there. Push the button. And,
Mr. Hogue, if you could kind of try to work with that microphone. I don't want to. Here's Scott now.
Mr. Simmons, I'm showing you what I'll represent to you is a map of the Williston Exchange. Do you see it?
I do.
And I want to further represent to you that the red lines, can you see this red line here?
Yes.
I'll represent to you that that is the Williston city limits. Okay?
Okay.
The next part I want to show you is colored in purple, and it's not a permanent print on the map. It's a flip up. But what I want to represent to you is that is the area where Mid-Continent has facilities within the Williston city limits. Do you see that?
Yes.
Is it your testimony that if you got a request from somebody up here, and what I'm pointing to is number one, which is within the Williston city limits. If you got a request from somebody up there, did I understand your previous testimony that you would serve them?
If we had one request from one person in that particular area, I'm not sure that we would work to provide service to that one customer.
Okay.
Unless, of course, that one customer would then make a complaint to the city council, who is the grantor of our franchise, and we would have to deal with it at that level.
That's what I thought.
May I ask a question? I don't understand the basis for the purple area on the map where you got that information. I don't think Mr. Simmons actually is an expert on the boundaries of the system in Williston, so I need to understand where that comes from.
I'm not sure where that comes from, but for the purpose of my question, I've represented to him that is the area where Mid-Continent has existing facilities.
Yes, my question is Missouri Valley going to ask arbitrator to take notice of that as correct?
I don't think that will be necessary.
All right, because to the extent it's not correct, then I don't know that the question makes any sense.
We'll have to. I mean, it's obviously not being offered as an exhibit. It's being used for purposes of illustrating a question. But there will need to be a foundational tie-in at some point in order for us to know whether there's accuracy to that. I believe I understand from previous documents that you filed that your argument is that they serve a very small 7-mile square area and that the area that you're required to serve is much larger. I think if that's the argument that you're after, I understand the point. I'm not going to accept that exhibit or that non-exhibit, but that chart at face value, unless it's somehow a foundation is laid for its accuracy.
Understood. And Your Honor, I don't know that this witness can lay the foundation for it. But what I'm seeking to ask the witness is whether or not Mid-Continent serves all customers within their franchise, which I think he responded that they do not unless there's a so I don't know that I need to offer the accuracy of the purple area as representing Mid-Continent's facilities at this point.
Why don't you just ask him that question directly at this
okay.
point? Okay.
As I understand your testimony, not only in this case, but in the previous case, Mid-Continent will serve an area based on economics, whether there's sufficient numbers of requesting customers, potential customers, that would warrant and justify a build-out of facilities to that area within the city limits. Is that true?
It's true. However, it is a requirement of our franchise that we serve all the customers in an area without discrimination. So again, if there is a customer or group of customers in some particular new development area and they wish to have service to that particular area, they would certainly contact us. Typically, the developer of the area would contact us. And if they do not find relief there, they would take it to the city, and we would likely be called on the carpet to provide just cause why we wouldn't build out to that area.
Mr. Hogue, how does this relate to the issues in this case?
I am cross-examining him concerning his testimony that's been admitted into evidence in this case, Your Honor.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand it.
Okay.
And one of his primary statements is that they want to increase the quality of service that they deliver to their customers, and I don't have a clear idea who their customers are.
Okay. Why don't we try to see if he knows who the customers are and to the extent what the extent of his knowledge is in that regard. If Mid-Continent has another witness that can provide more information on that, or if you do, we'll get to that then with a witness who knows that area.
Okay. Mr. Simmons, just so I'm clear, if clear on your previous testimony, I pointed to that area in one, which is inside the city limits, that might have a requesting company or might have one request from one customer. And as I understood your response, you may or may not serve that customer depending on the volume of other customers in the area that wanted your services, Mid-Continent services.
I'm not sure that's what I said. First of all, Mr. Hogue, it's very difficult for me to look at one area and try to imagine who that customer might be in that area. For all I know, there are no customers in that area. I also don't know if the city boundaries that you showed me are newly annexed areas. I'm frankly not familiar with the city limits specifically within Williston. I can only tell you that we respond to customer needs in certain areas, and most recently in Williston, most recently over the course of the last couple of years, those responses have come mostly not from individual customers, but in fact from developers looking to move into an area or that have built into certain areas where we have received requests for our video and data services, extended our network to provide services in those areas. They asked us also for telephone service, and we're not able to deliver them. That really has been the point of my customer service issues in my testimony.
When was the last time you were in Williston?
6 months ago.
And was it for Mid-Continent business or other personal matters?
It was for Mid-Continent business.
You showed us a couple of charts that suggest that the amount of time to fix a dial tone takes longer in Williston than it does in other communities served by Mid-Continent. Is that true?
In North Dakota, that's correct.
Now, you've also provided us testimony that you regard Williston as a booming market, that the number of jobs there outpace the number of people that are there to work. Is that true?
That's true.
Have you, in preparing your testimony or your charts, have you compared what it might take for you or I to get in to see an ophthalmologist in Williston as compared to other communities?
No.
Have you been able to compare the wait times at the gas stations or the banks in Williston compared to the wait times of gas stations and banks in other communities in North Dakota?
No.
Would it surprise you to know that the people of Williston plan their day strategically when to get gas so that they avoid the lines at the gas stations?
I guess it wouldn't surprise me.
But you seem surprised yet or alarmed that there's a lag between the amount of time it takes to provide corrective action on a dial tone compared to other communities. Is that fair?
I don't think so. I don't think I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised that if there are too long a waits at gas stations, that perhaps we need more gas stations in Williston. What we're proposing is to provide another facilities-based telephone operation in Williston that will take some of the pressure off customers' demands.
How many employees do you have in Williston?
I'm not sure.
How many? Do you know how many splicers you have?
I don't.
How many customer service reps?
Customer service reps are taken care of on our network.
So they're not in Williston?
They're not in Williston.
Have you, do you have, in your capacity, do you have any knowledge about trying to hire people in Williston, North Dakota for your company?
Yes.
And what types of people are you have knowledge about hiring in Williston?
Our technical team.
Okay. And but you don't know how many, but
I don't know how many. I know about the issues that our HR department has gone through to find people and hire people and maintain people in Williston. I'm aware of that.
We talked about Williston. Does Mid-Continent agree to provide services in all of the cities in North Dakota where it receives a franchise from the municipal government?
Would you repeat that for me, please?
When Mid-Continent receives a franchise to serve a municipal community, does it agree to serve all customers throughout that community?
When we receive a franchise, do we agree to provide service throughout the community? Yes.
I asked you about the previous case. Do you recall Commissioner Wiefald being a member of the commission in the preceding case?
Yes.
Do you recall her dissent in which she advised Mid-Continent that the commission should be willing to terminate Missouri Valley's rural exemption if Mid-Continent was willing to build out its network throughout the entire 393 square mile exchange?
Objection. This is within the material that's been struck.
I'm going to sustain the objection. I don't think the issues are the same in this case as they were in the previous case. The previous case was about lifting the rural exemption. Now we're talking about interconnection. I think that the interconnection issue is one of competition as opposed to being able to provide service throughout the area. So I'm going to sustain that objection.
Would Mid-Continent ever consider building out its network beyond the city limits of Williston?
Well, ever is a very long time, and I think as development grows outside of the city limits of Williston, I think the answer would be yes. We have, in fact, extended our networks well beyond city limits in a lot of our franchise communities as growth and development have migrated out from the communities that we serve.
Is that extension of your facilities, is that driven by the amount of customer demand?
Generally, yes.
You recognize that there is no law that compels Mid-Continent to build out its network where Mid-Continent doesn't want to take its network beyond the city limits.
I've been letting this go for a while, but I think this is outside the scope of this limited number of issues here, unless you can explain how Mid-Continent's decision to serve one area or another relates to any of these specific issues.
On page 4, 19 to 20, Mr. Simmons talks about this interconnection agreement being in the public interest, and he cites these very economic issues, so I think I'm entitled to question about them.
Go ahead.
Would you ask the question again, please?
I think I've forgotten my question.
We'll have Denise read it back. I thought I had it, but I might have lost it too.
We recognize that there is no law that compels Midcontinent to build out its network where Midcontinent doesn't want to take its network beyond the city limits.
I think the answer to that is yes. I don't know that anybody is compelled by any law forcing specific build-outs other than an agreement that we have like our franchise agreements, where in a franchise agreement we are compelled to build out the community. But beyond that, no, there's nothing that would compel us to do that.
Maybe this goes to Mr. Harrington's objection, but on pages 5 to 7 of your testimony, Mr. Simmons, you yourself discuss the perceived benefits of competition, and in particular in the Williston market. And I was wondering if you had an understanding before you filed your pre-filed testimony that the perceived benefits or detriments of competition have anything to do with this proceeding.
I guess I have been most concerned with the benefits attached to competition, specifically for the customers that we serve, the opportunity for customers to have choice. I think that's what a major part of what the Telecom Act of 1996 was frankly all about, is to offer choice. That's what was the original concept behind the resale agreement concept was about, to give customers choice sooner rather than later. As far as the detriments, I'm sensitive to those. You know, there are very few markets where Midcontinent, frankly, doesn't have competition. We have competition on the video side from DirecTV and the satellite companies, every market we serve. Increasingly, we have competition in our markets from a number of rural telephone companies that have built out their networks. Some of them have moved out of their service area to become a third provider in some areas.
I hate to interrupt you, but you discussed the virtues of competition, and I'm wondering, did you have an understanding before you submitted your testimony that the virtues of competition are somehow relevant in this proceeding?
Yes.
I think he's answered that. I think I understood his answer to be that the Telecommunications Act encourages competition, and I thought he answered that question.
You mentioned these other markets where you have competition. Jamestown, Devil's Lake, is that what you're, are those the communities that you're talking about?
Jamestown is not our market. Devil's Lake is.
Okay. Can you identify another market where the rural, I assume the competition is from the local rural telephone company that's venturing into video. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Are you aware of another rural company that, other than Missouri Valley, that does not receive high-cost loop support in North Dakota?
That does not receive support in North Dakota. I'm really not.
You'll have to explain to me what high-cost loop support is.
It is a, if you would like me to explain it, I'll give you my...
Or we can, maybe a witness can fill it in later?
Yeah.
Okay. It's some of those things that I'm definitely in need help with.
For the record, I believe that there's a description of that in Mr. Duvall's testimony.
Mr. Simmons, I noticed on page 7, lines 11 to 15, you again are talking about competition and offer the idea that, after all, the other rural companies to date have not sought regulatory relief when Midcontinent decides to compete with them. Did I properly summarize your testimony?
Yes.
Did you recall that Missouri Valley did apply for a suspension of its duties under 251 in the prior proceeding?
Yes.
That would be regulatory relief from your attempts to compete with them, would it not?
I guess the intention of my testimony, my reference, was all the other rural telephone companies that we compete with have not sought regulatory relief.
Okay. But Missouri Valley has in the prior proceeding. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
What about North Dakota Telephone Network? Didn't they assert the rural exemption against Mid-Continent?
Initially, I guess when I talk about in this section regulatory relief, that's the type of relief that would be expressed by a rural telephone company looking for some way, some regulatory assistance or some subsidy assistance because competing with us in some way has caused them to become distressed. That was my intent of this testimony. I don't know that that circumstance has happened.
And maybe what you're saying, you've not heard of a situation where a rural company says, you know what, this carrier last resort, it's not for us anymore. We just want to compete directly with Mid-Continent in a place like Williston or Devil's Lake. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
But you would agree that North Dakota Network has asserted the rural exemption against Mid-Continent.
The initial plan, yes.
What would happen if let's use Missouri Valley as an example, or we could use let's use them. What if they said Public Service Commission, we don't want this ETC status. We cannot afford to go on and serve this entire 393 square mile area. We're getting out. Would Mid-Continent step in at that point and say, we'll serve that area?
I don't believe so.
Who would serve then?
I'm not sure I can answer that question. I don't know.
Do you accept the idea that if Missouri Valley, well, do you accept the idea that as a result of this, if this interconnection agreement is adopted, that Missouri Valley will lose revenues from Mid-Continent, from the resale agreement?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I would be the best to answer that particular question. I've not done an analysis. We have a witness, perhaps, that might be able to answer that better than I.
Well, do you at least accept the idea that if the incumbent, like Missouri Valley, loses a significant portion of its revenues, that it loses the ability to build out and support its network?
Objection. This is now way beyond anything that's in this proceeding now. These carrier of last resort issues, these will you go out of business issues, were all excluded from the motion by the motion to strike.
Your Honor.
I'm going to go ahead and answer the question if you
the
can.
The witness has testified that the interconnection agreement is in the public interest.
I'm letting him answer the question. I'm overruling the objection.
Restate that for me, please.
I think I forgot it again, sir.
Asked very specifically, I guess my answer would be yes, with a however. Sometimes the difference between losing revenues and losing customers. Companies lose customers all the time and hopefully gain customers all the time. That's what competition is all about. I don't know that we can ever sit back and just assume that if there's any customer that we lose at any given point, all revenue is lost, because if we all had that attitude, we'd all be losing. I'm assuming that any company would always be in the business of looking for new and creative ways to take care of customers the best they possibly can and would be willing to compete heads up with competitors in order to gain the potential revenues for those customers. So I guess, Mr. Hogue, to answer your question very directly, from the loss of revenue standpoint, the answer would be yes.
On page 14, lines 1 to 12, you talk about what you perceive to be the reason that Congress authorized this resale arrangement. And I think what you said was it's always been a transitional way to compete until the competitive entrant could get enough customers to justify building out its own facilities. Is that a fair summary of your testimony?
Yes.
Mid-Continent has had its cable network in Williston for how long?
I don't know the exact date.
In excess of 20 years?
I don't think so. Williston was a part of a roll-up that happened between TCI and Mid-Continent. I believe the proper number is more likely 12 years. Let's just say post-1996.
But it seems like, to me, your facilities are already in place there, and all you need at this point, or all you're asking for, is a physical interconnection with the incumbent Missouri Valley so that you can handle your own traffic and exchange it with their customers.
Is there a question? Sorry.
Is that fair summary?
Not completely. When you say that a cable system is in place, a cable system was originally designed for one-way communications. So when you say a cable system has been in place for a very long time, that's partially true. But that cable system had to have been rebuilt. That cable system would have had to be infused with fiber optics. It would have to be made a two-way network, and it would also have to be interconnected with something. Several cable operations to this day, in a lot of markets, are not interconnected. Those are some of the smaller systems that have a limited number of channels. That was the type of system that we inherited in Williston. We were the ones that interconnected those components in order to be able to provide advanced services like internet service, like telephone services, which were really not a part of an original cable television system. So that, of course, comes with a tremendous amount of investment. You know, it's a $100 million investment with the gigabit net that we have interconnecting our primary spots throughout our network. That isn't the type of investment that you make overnight, never mind the fact that it's taken a considerable amount of technological improvements since the Telecom Act of 1996 in order to get to the capacity where we could actually provide those services. So I believe that in 1996, the concept of resale was a way for companies like us and a number of other companies referred to generally as CLECs to become competitive local exchange providers with the intent of being able to, over in time, come up with the investment and the technology to be able to interconnect the networks to really provide a meaningful and competitive and reliable telephone service that, frankly, could compete with the incumbents. I know at the initial start of the resale concepts, we entered into those agreements shortly before 2000, late in 1999, I believe. And some of those early resale agreements were done so very reluctantly on the part of the telephone companies, as you might imagine. And it was there, I think the early discussions that we had was, how long are you going to have to be using our services? We would like to have you off our networks as soon as possible. And in the most part, we've migrated off of those networks as we build out our facilities to be able to, again, provide the services on our system to our customers.
When did you, how old is your head end in Williston? Do you know that?
I don't.
Just so I'm clear, you're not the right person to ask about the geographical scope of your facilities in Williston. You couldn't go to that map and show us where you think your facilities are.
I could not.
Would you agree with me that as in terms of the public interest and the public benefit to this perceived interconnection, that the people that would benefit would be the areas where you, Mid-Continent, have facilities?
The people who would benefit are our current and potential customers, yes.
So the people who would not be able to benefit would be the 380-plus miles where you don't have facilities.
Objection. First of all, this coverage map doesn't show that you cover 393 square miles. There are lots of blank spaces where there's no service at all. Second, you've answered your question you asked previously already.
On the basis of asked and answered, I'm going to sustain the objection. I get the point.
Did you review your Mid-Continent's discovery responses in this proceeding?
I did not.
Okay. Are you generally aware of how many additional miles of fiber or other plant that Mid-Continent has deployed in the city of Williston in the past, let's say, 2 years?
No.
You mentioned in your testimony one of these service offerings that you want to be able to provide that you can't provide under a resale arrangement is this caller ID on the television.
Yes.
You know how much you charge for that service? Is that an a la carte offering?
Caller ID?
Yeah. On the TV.
No charge.
Are you aware that that is offered in Williston today by your competitor?
Caller ID on TV is offered by our competitor.
DirecTV.
It could be.
Mr. Simmons, do you get involved in the budgeting process at Mid-Continent where Mid-Continent engineers might sit down with fiscal folks and decide how much they're going to invest in Williston and how much they're going to invest in other communities?
No.
Mr. Simmons, you quoted the mayor of the city of Williston, Mr. E. Ward Kozer, and according to your quotation, he says, "Our sewer, roads, law enforcement, and housing are at capacity. We have to plan and work like crazy to catch up." Do you have an understanding of where most of the buried fiber and copper is placed inside the city limits?
No.
That's all the questions I have.
Before we get to redirect, I have some questions.
Absolutely.
And that way you can follow up on them, too, if you need to, Mr. Harrington. With relation to the graph that's on page 13 in your testimony, Mr. Simmons, there is a – that's the dial tone chart. And maybe I missed this somewhere, but what would be the causes of no dial tone? What does that signify in the phone business? It just mean there's a dead line, the phone's not working?
Correct. No dial tone is could be many things, but that's usually what a customer will call us. That's the complaint. I picked up the phone, there's no dial tone. In other words, my phone isn't you're working. Could be a number of problems associated with that, but the bottom line is that this customer has and is paying for a phone line. It's not available to him.
Okay, and these are the blue line represents the customers in Williston.
Yes.
That you have received calls from. Does that indicate the number of calls you receive with that problem in any way on that graph?
No.
It just
tells us the average amount of time time between work order entry and a solution.
And do you have any idea why there seems to be these huge hikes in September in the 2 years that this seems to show?
I'm going to guess that September might be a case of one customer who did not get a solution for many, many, many days. Again, this is the average number of days. That one customer or a few customers who had some extraordinarily long waits may have been enough to skew the graph.
Am I correct in understanding that your service area in Williston, where you have a sharing agreement with Missouri Valley, is a fairly small area within the city limits?
Within the city limits.
I suppose I shouldn't be flippant, but when I first saw your map on page 15, I thought it was like a London subway map or something.
I'll share that with our commercial artist.
The chart on page 12 that talks about average install days, it looks to me that in your other service areas in North Dakota, that runs from 8 to 12 days.
In the case of January, correct.
Okay. And in the I guess I'm looking at the entire red line. Throughout the period of time represented, it looks like the average install days is 8 to 12. But in Williston, it's 12 to a little more than 14, just under 15?
Yes.
Okay. And that's been fairly consistent throughout, that in Williston it's taking 1 or 2 days more than it takes in other parts of North Dakota?
Correct.
Okay. Right, that's all the questions I have on the exhibits or on the graphs in the exhibit. You may go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just a few questions for you on redirect, Mr. Simmons. I'd like to start with the discussion of gas stations and lines at various places. When you go to a gas station to purchase gasoline, or you go to the dry cleaner or make an appointment with the ophthalmologist, do you have any control over the resources allocated by the gas station owner or the ophthalmologist or the dry cleaner?
No.
When Midcontinent provides service in a market, does Midcontinent have control over the resources allocated to installations and repair?
Which service?
Services you provide over your own facilities.
Yes.
Does that make a difference in your ability to maintain the times you wish to have for installations and for repairs?
Yes.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the question about high-cost loop support. Mr. Hogue asked you a question about whether you knew something, and I'm going to ask you a broader question. Do you have any idea who receives or does not receive high-cost loop support in North Dakota?
Do I know all the specifics? No.
So you were not telling Mr. Hogue that you knew for sure that he was right, you just didn't know the answer?
I do not know the answer.
I'd like to talk a little bit about current build-out plans relating to the questions Mr. Hogue asked about extensions of lines. Mm-hmm. Is Midcontinent continuing to build out facilities in the Williston area?
Yes.
Are there places in Williston where Midcontinent has facilities that, with interconnection, it could use to provide telephone service where Missouri Valley does not?
Yes.
Have you had any recent issues concerning questions of build-out in that area?
We have.
Could you describe them?
Well, we've had, frankly, a number of them. We've had developers contacting us asking when we might be able to have all of our services available. We certainly can answer the questions as to when our data network and our television services will be available, but not telephone services. In fact, we have built out to certain areas where telephone services are not available, and the waits are typically very long. We had one instance that I recall, a reference from our inside sales team. These are the people who take telephone orders for customers. And they asked us at one time if we would stop promoting or taking orders on phone services in Williston because they just were having problems with customers calling them and saying, we're not installed, we can't wait that long, why can't you guys get out to provide these services? It became a frustration point for our inside customer service folks. And that's really my concern with all of this. I see the results of the customer service activities and oftentimes receive direct correspondence from folks who are looking for services and don't have it. Especially given the economic development, given the need for housing in that particular area, we've been contacted by a few people who are looking at developing housing who want to have the components of voice, video, and data all from one provider, and we're not able to supply that today.
Mr. Hogue asked you some questions concerning the possibility of a provider going out of business or a provider seeking relief from the commission. I'd like to turn to those for a moment. First, are you aware of any rural local exchange carrier with which Midcontinent is interconnected that has gone out of business?
No.
Are you aware of any such company that has, subsequent to the time Midcontinent has entered the market, sought to have a rate increase as a consequence of competition?
I'm not aware.
And Mr. Hogue spoke about companies that had rural exemptions in place prior to the time of competition. Are you aware of any rural local exchange carrier in North Dakota that, since Midcontinent has started to compete with it with facilities-based service, has asked for suspension or modification of its obligations from the North Dakota Public Service Commission?
No.
Mr. Hogue also asked about the possibility of a company losing revenues and being unable to support its businesses. And I'm going to ask a slightly different question, which we will talk about a little more during the testimony of the Missouri Valley witnesses. But if a company is falling short of its revenue projections, but its actual net revenues are increasing, is it likely that company is going to go out of business?
I think highly unlikely.
I have no further redirect.
Recross?
Just a few, Your Honor. Mr. Simmons, the arbitrator asked you about causes of loss of dial tone. And I assume we could agree that a major cause of lost dial tone are cable cuts from contractors.
Yes. I don't know if it's a major cause, but it certainly is a cause. If a cable is cut, you will have no dial tone.
Okay. I would agree. Would it surprise you that there would be more cable cuts in a rapidly growing community like Williston than other communities in North Dakota?
I guess generally it wouldn't surprise me, although I don't know that I would have evidence to back that up in Williston, since I would assume that our cables would be cut on a relatively often basis as well And I don't think that's the case.
You don't think what's the case?
That cable cuts are an extraordinary problem for us in Williston.
Do you know how much of your plant is aerial as compared to Missouri Valley's?
I don't know.
In terms of the length of disruption of service, I assume you agree that one reason for disruption would be a storm or other weather event that prevents service technicians from repairing it as fast as they would like to.
Certainly.
Concerning the chart that's on the easel there and the other one that relates to the loss of dial tone, did you bring the underlying data that supports those charts with you this week?
I don't have the underlying data. I would have to check with our folks to see if they do, but I don't have it with me.
Would you be able to determine for us how many, the arbitrator's question of how many calls, for example, we're talking about in each of those months where there's a loss of dial tone or there's a service order and then there's a delay in the number of requests? Would you be able to get those numbers?
I believe we could.
I'd ask for some clarification here just to make sure I understand what you're asking. The number of calls lost to no dial tone, that seems like an incalculable number since there's no dial tone.
The number of complaints of no dial tone.
Number of complaints. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we understood what your question was. I didn't think you meant what it sounded like.
Sorry. That's something you think you might be able to get?
I believe so.
Let's be precise so we understand. The number of complaints of no dial tone in a given month.
Correct.
I think, Mr. Harrington, what he was asking for is, and I'm interested in that too, to the extent it's relevant, the underlying data that was used to put together this chart as far as the waiting times for no dial tone.
Okay.
I'd be interested in knowing whether there's 20 calls in September or two or
right.
complaints.
Right.
Because I obviously can skew the data.
Samples, understand.
Okay. And also, if there is some, I recall an event in Williston that was an ice storm or something, and I don't remember when that was. One of these may coincide with that. As far as average install days, it would also be nice to know just, what the data used as far as the number of customers we're talking about for those numbers as
well. Yeah, that's fine. We just wanted to make sure we understood what you're looking for.
Okay. And, stipulation to the foundation was waived, so I'm accepting these things, but I would like to know that information. I think it's germane.
We're happy to provide it. We just want to make sure we provide what we need to provide.
Okay. Any other recross? Does anybody need a break, Denise? 5 minutes?
Sure, may as well take
one. Okay, let's take a 5-minute break now, and if you've got any additional questions after that 5-minute break for Mr. Simmons, we'll get to those, and then we'll get to your next witness right after that.
Right. At the moment, I plan to have one other question for Mr. Simmons.
Okay, that's fine. We can bring that up when we come back. Yep. Just so everybody can stretch their legs, use the restroom if they need.
I knew that we were going to need a break anyway. I'm not going to take a long one.
Let me make sure this system is up to date.